you already. May sound strange, but I actually feel like a regular here at this church, even though I've never really met the great majority of you. But I'm a regular attender of the 4 p.m. Indonesian service. I know I don't look Indonesian. Why I attend that service, well, maybe that can be a conversation over morning tea later on. But nevertheless, it's great to be here with you, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to share God's word with you. Let's pray. Our Lord God, our Father, we pray that as we reflect upon your word this morning, that we would hear the voice of Jesus speaking to us, and that we would be drawn closer to him, and that we would marvel at the greatness of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and that we would marvel at your own glory in sending him to die and rise from the dead for our salvation. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, there's something very comforting about having a close personal relationship with someone who's in a position of power and influence. Or to have someone that you can call on when you find yourself in a really difficult situation and you know you can't get out of it yourself, but you know someone who can help you do what is beyond your own ability to resolve. I do volunteer work for an Indonesian man who has influence in high places as well as in low places. And he's a voice for people who don't have a voice of their own, whose voices are not heard amongst the population. He's known personally by the current president of Indonesia, and if you know what's happening in Indonesia at the moment, the sitting president, who's just finished his first five-year term, has been re-elected for his second five-year term, he's actually invited the man that I'm doing volunteer work for in Indonesia to be on his cabinet. He has said, no, thank you, I don't want to get tangled up in politics. I'm here for the gospel. I'm a Christian, but I'm happy to be your advisor in an informal way. And this is to a Muslim president, so that's quite a privilege. But this friend of mine told me a few months ago that he got a phone call from some Christians in a church which is in a strong Muslim area, and the members of this church were being terrorized by some of the local people there. And they were wondering if my friend could do something to help them. And so my friend immediately called the local military in the area, and they sent troops, and the troops protected the church, and the problem was sorted out. These Christians were a minority group, and they were powerless to do anything about the situation themselves, but they had a friend in a position of influence who cared about them and took action to help them. And now, as Christians, we know that we have that kind of relationship with a person in a position of influence, a position of ultimate power and ultimate influence and ultimate authority, and that person is Jesus Christ. But I suspect that often, in our thinking, Jesus is so far above any other human being in power and authority and his ability to protect us, and he's so spiritual that we find it difficult to appreciate the everyday present reality of the help that he provides. It's easy, I think, to forget that every moment, every day, Jesus is watching over us and he's protecting us and he's coming to our rescue. And he rescues us from the eternal consequences of sin. But that seems to be so far away and in eternity. We tend to think of that as being abstract and theoretical, and it's not a present everyday reality. And even his daily rescuing of us from countless things that could harm our relationship with God, I think his rescuing of us is so frequent and so common, and such a part of our normal everyday life that we tend to take those things for granted. And we naively stumble through life from one day to the next without even noticing that our shepherd is watching over us and protecting us from spiritual and physical dangers and pitfalls. I sometimes wonder how long, I don't actually wonder, I'm pretty sure, how long would the human race last if it was not for the common grace of God watching over all human beings and keeping us more or less on track, and especially watching over his children. We think life is boring a lot of the time, but I think the reason it's boring is because we are protected so much of the time by our good shepherd. But to the extent that we have that attitude where we naively drift along from day to day, I think we miss out on something amazing and exciting. We miss out on the joy and the wonder of that intimately close relationship with our friend, our close friend in a position of power and authority, our protector. Well, Jesus makes several significant statements in the passage that we looked at earlier on. He says in verse 14, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. He says in verse 16, my sheep listen to my voice. And he says in verses 15 and verse 17, I lay down my life for my sheep only to take it up again. So I want us to look at those statements. First of all, my sheep listen to my voice. And that's easy enough to understand. If you've been in church for long enough, you've probably heard the sermon about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and how in the Middle East the shepherds would the sheep would follow the shepherd. I spent a bit of time in a church down in the Riverina area, and of course the farmers down there, the sheep farmers down there, they have dogs that herd the sheep and push them from behind, whereas in the ancient Middle East and even today, the sheep actually follow the shepherd and they recognise the voice of the shepherd. When nighttime comes, the shepherd will put his sheep into a large pen, which along with other sheep from other shepherds, and in the morning he'll come along and there's his dozen or so amongst a few hundred, and he will call them out and they'll come out of the pen one by one because they recognise the voice of the shepherd. You may have heard something like that before. So my sheep listen to my voice, and we understand that. But what does it actually mean, listen to the voice of Jesus? What does it sound like, the voice of Jesus? And how do we distinguish between the voice of Jesus and other voices? Well, there's so many other voices that beckon us in so many ways. The voice of advertising telling us that we need a new product, or the voice of temptation to sin telling us that we can have satisfaction so much sooner, so much more easily, if we just take a shortcut and do the wrong thing. No one will notice. The voice of political correctness and tolerance telling us that there are other ways and better ways to love our neighbour than the old-fashioned ways that the Bible teaches us. The voice of comfort and peace and security telling us that we don't really need to follow the hard road in order to have a better life. The voice of recognition and respect from others telling us that how we can have a greater sense of self-worth in the eyes of other people. And amongst all of those voices, there's the voice of Jesus telling us that we can have infinitely more than all of those voices, that what they offer to us, if only we will take shelter in his protective arms. How do we recognise the voice of Jesus amongst those other voices? Are we even listening for the voice of Jesus? Or are we too distracted by all of the other voices that offer us a better life so much more easily at so less a cost to ourselves? Well, we recognise the voice of Jesus in the same way we recognise any voice, and that is by hearing that voice often. You know, it's like in a crowded room. I think it's amazing how we can... there might be a crowded room with a dozen conversations going on, and we can tune in on a conversation that's on the other side of the room, and we can tune out the other voices, and we can just hear the voice of that conversation over there that we want to focus on. Or perhaps another example is a mother, and you may have noticed, I can be talking to a female and suddenly she'll stop and she'll say, excuse me, my baby's crying. I wouldn't have a clue that her baby was crying, but she hears the voice of her crying baby and she recognises the voice. She's tuned in to the sound of her child, and the child is tuned in to the sound of the mother. The mother knows the baby. The baby knows the mother. So also Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. In the midst of countless other voices making a constant noise in our life, those who belong to Jesus recognize the voice of Jesus because they know Jesus. I think as Christians we use the expression knowing Jesus rather in a way of saying, well, I'm a Christian, I know Jesus, I know Jesus, I'm a Christian. Well, that's true, of course. To be a Christian is to know Jesus, and in order to know Jesus, you must be a Christian. But if that's all it means to us, I think we're undervaluing what it means to know Jesus. In verse 14, Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Think about that. The way we know Jesus and the way Jesus knows us is modelled after and in some way reflects the love relationship between the members of the Trinity. That is mind-blowing. We know Jesus and he knows us like the members of the Trinity know each other, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I can barely scratch the surface of that in my own understanding of the Trinity, far less explain to anyone else what it means. But I think there is something we can say, broadly speaking. I think we can say that knowing Jesus and loving Jesus, it's not just shorthand for being a Christian. It's a very real and very powerful and very personal knowledge and depth of personal love that far exceeds any kind of knowledge between two human beings on this earth. It reflects the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And the more intimately we know Jesus, the more we listen to the voice of Jesus, the more we become tuned in to his voice, and the more instinctively we respond when we hear him calling. How do we nurture that relationship? We saturate ourselves in God's Word, the Bible, and we talk to God in prayer. We keep on communicating with God, with Jesus, day after day, year after year, so that we hear the voice of Jesus speaking to us, even in the midst of 1,000 other voices surrounding us and calling out to us every day. And the reason, of course, Jesus is speaking to us is to protect us and guide us as the good shepherd does. Keep us safe from countless spiritual pitfalls that can entrap us on a daily basis. Because let's face it, the voices that are in our face, if I can mix my metaphors, the voices that are daily yelling out to us and saying, hey, take the easy path, you can do this. It's so much less sweat for you to do it this way. We get tempted by those voices. We need to recognize the voice of Jesus saying, don't listen to that. Don't listen to those voices. Yes, they sound so much more easy. It sounds like the broad path, but many follow that path. Listen for the voice of Jesus. But our relationship with Jesus doesn't just end there, of course. Our relationship with our shepherd doesn't end there. Jesus really is a larger-than-life protector, an advocate and deliverer in every sense of the word. He makes this extraordinary claim about himself. He says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Okay, laying down one's life for another person, that is, we'll all agree, that's an incredibly noble thing to do, isn't it? It's not unheard of. It was only a few weeks ago, maybe it was a couple of months ago, I remember hearing on the news about someone who drowned trying to save another person who was struggling in the water. That is really sad, but that's an incredibly noble thing to do. Or a soldier in battle who takes a bullet for his mates. We're mere mortals. We only live once, and we only die. We only have one life to give away. And once we've lost that life, once we've laid down that life or sacrificed that life, it's gone. You can't take back your life again. The reason for that is that we don't possess life in and of ourselves. We are not the authors of our own life. We're not the originators of our life. We're not the source of our own lives. Every breath we take is borrowed from God. And God has every right to take our life from us at any moment. And we can do nothing to prevent that. And once our life is taken from us, there's nothing we can do to take it back again. But Jesus makes this claim about himself that no other human being can ever make. He says in verses 17 and 18, I lay down my life. Yeah, we can do that too. Only to take it up again. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. That is a most extraordinary claim. In Acts chapter 3, verse 15, Peter says, you killed the author of life. Jesus is the author of life. Because of that, he has authority not just to lay down his life, but he has authority to take it up again. This is more than just a God-given miraculous gift that has been given to a mortal human being like you and me. Jesus is saying that within himself, he has the authority to lay down his life, and within himself he has the authority to take it up again. He doesn't need to be given this power. He doesn't need to ask anyone's permission to do this. He has divine power and divine authority to lay down his own life, and he has divine power and divine authority to take it back again. No created human being, no angelic being can do that. Only God can do that. Only Jesus can do that. I started the sermon by saying that there's something very comforting and reassuring about having a close relationship with a person in a position of power and influence. Someone you can call on when you can do nothing yourself. We need someone like that. We need Jesus Christ. We need him for this life, and we need him for the life to come. Jesus rescues us. Quite seriously, I think when life is boring, when nothing exciting happens, when nothing goes wrong, I think we will never know, maybe this side of eternity, just how frequently Jesus rescues us from physical danger and from spiritual danger. I think without the shepherd's hand upon us, without that shepherd's crook to pull us back, invisibly, without us knowing about us, we would so quickly go astray. We would so quickly find ourselves in trouble. We wouldn't survive a week. I'm not sure that we would even survive a day. But the invisible, loving, caring, good shepherd cares for us daily, weekly, throughout our lives, more than we will ever know about. Jesus is the person of ultimate authority, ultimate power to rescue us, and we have an incredibly intimately close relationship with him that somehow, in some way, that we can't know in this life, is a reflection of that incredibly intimately close love relationship within the Trinitarian God, between God the Father and God the Son. Jesus is our protector, our good shepherd, our rock, our refuge, our comfort, our security, our deliverer. He is the one upon whom we can call when we cannot help ourselves. He knows us. We know him. So next time you find yourself saying, yeah, I know Jesus. I'm a Christian. That is so good. That is so wonderful. But don't just think of knowing Jesus, knowing the voice of Jesus, as being a shorthand way of saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. Of course it does mean that. But it means so much more than that. It means that you are being protected daily in everything you do. God will allow you to experience many physical difficulties and problems in your life. And sometimes you will think, wow, this is hard. Where is God? Does God really care about me? Does he really love me? I'm sure that there are people here who have wondered that when life just gets so hard that it is unbearable. Jesus is your good shepherd. He does care about you. He does hear your voice. And if you listen, you will hear his voice also. And he will rescue you in this life and for eternity. Let's pray. Our Lord God, our Father, when we are surrounded by so many voices in this world yelling out to us, demanding our attention, we pray that you would enable us to recognize and hear and be comforted by the voice of Jesus, our Good Shepherd, in whose name we pray. Amen.